a cup that is bubbling over, running over, running over. How many are ready to be filled up to running over? You know, I said the other Sunday, I'm done with the days of coming in constantly and saying, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord. And we do need to come in like that sometimes. We all do sometimes. But I want to come in saying, here's my cup, Lord. It's bubbling over today. It's going to run out and get on somebody else. How many know sometimes you just got to get in the splash zone? You got to get around somebody who can stir up that presence of God inside you. Stir up that anointing. Stir up the power of God inside of you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many know it is the dunamis or the dynamite power? The other word for that is the dynamite power of God. Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for his presence. I'm thankful for vision. I'm thankful for an expectancy. You know, we've been talking the last couple Sundays about going through the valley. Amen. So if you've been here and the last couple Sundays, we talked about the Valley of Baca. We talked about the Valley of Gerar. We talked about the Valley Gate and some things like that. But how many know when the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Aren't you, how many are thankful for the word through? Not when I set up camp, not when I put up a mailbox, not when I moved into the valley to stay, but how many know when you're passing in the valley, it's to pass through the valley. You don't have to stay there, but we are passing through some things, and there are some things that we might pass through, but don't miss out on the fact that in the valley sometimes is the streams of water and the greenest grass. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful. And I appreciate Sister Jenny for that word, because I do feel, Sister Jenny, a calling and anointing to all of us, and a drawing to come up higher and to stretch our tent cords. And I want to see bigger and better. Yeah. Amen? I want to see bigger and better of what God has in store for us. Hallelujah. And where it looks like sometimes, you know, the church is in a dormant season, or it seems like we're scattered, and it seems like some things are more sparse instead of greater. You know, how many know sometimes there are seasons, even in a planting season, where you don't see the evidence of what you've planted. But how many are thankful that spring comes and there is a bursting forth of the seed of God that's been planted? And sometimes in those seasons, it's time to fertilize, and it's time to water, and it's time to do all of the things in preparation for the season yet to come. Now, I don't believe we have to be dictated by seasons, but I believe there are some things that some season type things come in our life, but God is faithful in every season. Amen. We're getting ready to go into the season of fall. It was a little crisp out there today, a little frosty on the grass. Amen. Going to have to switch from air conditioning over to heat. The problem is in fall, you got to switch back to air conditioning. Then you got to switch back to heat. And then back, I run the heat on the way to work in the morning, and I run my air conditioner on the way home. Can anybody say amen? Okay, I get in the morning, and it's cold, and I turn my heated seat on. And by the time I get in there with the kids in the evening, they're saying, Nana, turn the air conditioning on. It's hot in here. It's like fall has hot flashes or something like that. I don't know what it is, but anyway. But we're shifting, we're transitioning, there's some changes that are happening. And so I embrace that word, and I embrace the mandate and the mantle of God on my life. And I don't know what that looks like, but I know God's got it. And I know that God has already done things in my life that I did not see possible and I did not see coming. So wherever you are today, it is a temporary place. Somebody say temporary. It might seem like a struggle now. It might seem hard, but it is a temporary place, because God's desire is to take you through the valley, that he can make you lie down in green pastures, and he can lead you beside still waters, and most of all, that he restores my soul. Come on, somebody. There's just times when I have to say, Lord, I need you to restore my soul. Lead me in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Hallelujah. And I'm thankful that we have a shepherd who cares about us. Can somebody say amen? Amen. We've been talking about arise and build. We've been talking out of the book of Nehemiah. What I felt like the Lord prophetically spoke to me back months ago, and again, I don't know what all of that means, but I know it's not what you say in this season that will change our nation, our culture, our homes, or whatever, but it's what you build. Amen? And what I mean by that, you can say a whole lot of things, but what are you doing to make that happen? What are you building? What are you putting into use? What are we doing? And I've said some things before, and I've challenged it a little bit, and I want you to hear me this morning. I want you to hear my heart, because I hear people say a lot of things about we need to put prayer back in schools, and we need to put God back in our nation, and we need to do, you know, a lot of those things. And I wholeheartedly agree with a lot of those statements, but what I want to say to you, if you don't put it back in your home, you can put it in your school all you want to. You can put it in your nation. But what you model at home is what you are teaching. If you are not putting the word into your heart and into your mind, if you're not putting it into your children, if you're not establishing an atmosphere of God in our homes, in our communities, in our culture, it doesn't matter what name you put on the door. How many know you must first have to institute it in your heart and in your mind? Hallelujah. The psalmist David said, I will hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against God. There are so many ways in this day and season that we can get the word of God into our house, our homes, our hearts, our minds, through worship, through church, through word, through devotions, through live streams. I told you the other Sunday when we didn't have church, I was church hopping. I don't get to church hop. But there would become up one service right after another in Lake City or Rocky Top's going live. Georgia going live. Tennessee's going live. Pastor Jeff Moe's going live. Jeremy going live. Word, ministry, everywhere in a season that we can put it in our hearts. I don't say that in condemning. I say that to you. You have an opportunity to fill your heart and your mind and the atmospheres and the culture of your home with Jesus. Amen? So that when the devil knocks on the door, you can say, oh, he can say, I ain't going in there. Boy, y'all were quiet on that one. Her feet hit the floor, you better look out. Right? Come on, somebody. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead can dwell in you. And when it dwells in you, it can quicken and make alive your mortal body. The Spirit of God, the presence of God that lives in us. And so the word out of Nehemiah, go ahead and bring up Nehemiah 2, 17 through 20, Lisa. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how that Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Does that sound familiar to you? Sounds a little bit like 2020, doesn't it? Then I told them of the hand of God which was good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. I love it. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem, the Arabian, heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you will do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. I love that. That's a powerful scripture. We, the children of God, will arise and build, and we will say to the enemy and to Sanballat and all of the voices of opposition that you have no portion, no right, no memorial in Jerusalem. And when I say Jerusalem, I'm not talking about that. I mean, no, we are the holy city. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the city of God this morning. There is a point where you say the voice of the adversary and the voice of opposition will have no portion, no right, and no authority over where I am and what God has spoken and promised to his people. Do you believe that this morning? That's a powerful statement. You need to memorize that one. Put it in your lunchbox. Read it this week. Nehemiah 4:13. Go ahead and put that one up. Okay. I'll make sure I didn't skip one. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. I read that scripture to you just as a reminder, is when I was talking about signing your name on the wall. How many know Nehemiah went to great extent to record the names of the families who stood on the wall and rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem? He's saying the family of... they took their place on the wall. And the family of, and they took their place on the wall. And it would say the family of Sean and Trish Starlipper, they took their place on the wall. And the family of Barb Douglas, she found her spot on the wall. And Joe Harvey's family found their spot on the wall. And I could go, Kim Huntley's family found their spot on the wall. How many know it just takes a people who have a mind to work? And it takes an encourager like Nehemiah. The name Nehemiah means the comforter. It takes an encourager like a Nehemiah says, come on, people, can we build it? Yes, we can. Any Bob Builder fans in here today? That's a cartoon if you don't know that. He says, can we build it? Yes, we can. As it takes an encourager, and it takes people who have a mind to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so they began to rebuild the city of God, and they began to rebuild the things that were important to them, the things that were sacred to them. How many know I didn't come here today out of my religious mandates. I come because my time with the Lord and the gathering of the saints is precious to me. It is precious time. It's valued to me. And so when I talk about building the city of God, I'm talking about building this city. I'm talking about building the city of Berkeley Springs. I'm talking about building the city of Word of Deliverance Church. I'm talking about building people, building integrity, building honor, building kids, building things that I value in this season. How many know it's a day where we need to see some honor and some integrity and some character? Because you can tear down a whole lot of things, but what you build will speak louder than what you tear down. And so what they began to see is the things that are precious to me are being threatened, and they were torn down because the children of Israel had been taken into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar and them. And so they had been in captivity, and they had been slaves, and they had been captured by the Babylonian Empire, and it had destroyed the things that they found precious to them. But there were a people who stood up, and Nehemiah said one day, I'm going to back to build back those things that are precious to me. How many know there's some foundational things that are precious to me? I believe in being born again. I believe in the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I believe in giving. I believe in serving. I believe in faithfulness. I believe in all those things. Those are precious to me. I value those things. And so when they went back and started to survey the city, they found out that the gates or the portals of the city had been destroyed, and they needed to rebuild the gates. How many know a gate is a way in and a way out, right? You put up the gate if you want to keep the baby from going up the stairs or down the stairs. or the puppy from going in or going out. You know, when I shared before, a lot of times when I think about gates, I think about our eyes are a gate, our mouth is a gate, our ears are a gate, our heart is a gate. And what you let in and out of those gates determine what is in your city. This is the city. I am the holy habitation of the Lord. I can say that because that's what he says about me. Know ye not that you, Miss Barbara, are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're not building a natural temple. I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what the word says about me. And so what goes in and out of that temple must pass through the gates of my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart. How many know garbage in, garbage out? I said the other week, we used to sing the song, oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Anybody ever sang that in Sunday school? Yeah. For the Father up above is looking down in love, so be careful, little eyes, what you see. Still good wisdom. Amen? And so they began to reestablish the gates, and they built back the sheep gate. Now, I need to let you know that every thing that we talk about in Nehemiah not only had a relevance to that day, but it also has a relevance to the new covenant, and it also has a relevance to me right now this week. I mean, now you can have the greatest eschatology or end time revelation of what the world to come, but miss out on how do you live right here, right now. I mean, no, I want a gospel that teaches me how to get from here to there. How is it relevant in the world that I'm living right now? Well, they began to build back the gates, and what they did, they built back the sheep gate. How many know in the new covenant, Jesus comes along and says, I am the door of the sheep. I am the gate of the sheep. No man comes in or out except they come through me. And then they built the fish gate. And Jesus, one of the first things he did when he came along and began his ministry in the new covenant, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And then they restored the valley gate. And we just talked about that, the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. How many know we have the greatest shepherd that there is? And that he restores my soul even in the valley. And the valleys that they talked about, some of the valleys that they talked about in the scripture, one of the valleys was the valley of Gehenna. It's the word that we translate hell. How many know that's where the potter's field was? And that's the place that Jesus bought with 30 pieces of silver and bought back your redemption. They said, we can't take this money back. When Judas betrayed Jesus, we can't take this back because it is blood money. And they bought the potter's field, the field of the broken and the wayfarer and the stranger and the desolate and the heap. And we're going to talk about it this morning. They bought the garbage dump. How many know Gehenna was the garbage dump? And it's outside of the valley and outside the dung gate. We're going to talk about the dung gate this morning. Everybody say dung. That is what it is. Amen. The dung gate. In those days, they didn't have plumbing systems like we have today. They didn't have that little handle on the back of your toilet. You flush and everything goes away, right? It was a different day. So everything, all of the refuge and all of the garbage and everything in the city had to be taken out through a gate called the dung gate. They also took all of the leftovers from the sacrifices when they would offer the sacrifices, and what was left from the sacrifice, it would go out into the dung gate. I want you to tell, there was a greater sacrifice that one day that hit the dung gate, and when it did, he bought our redemption for 30 pieces of silver and saved us from a life of misery and pulled, how many know somebody, you can say, God pulled me out of the garbage heap. He pulled me out of the garbage dump. He pulled me out of the muck and the mire of sin, and he set my feet on solid rock, and he gave me life through Jesus. Hallelujah. That all of that goes outside of the city. Hallelujah. And so in Nehemiah 3:13, go ahead and bring that up for me, Lisa. Nehemiah 3:13. Did I give you that one? Okay, it's all right. It's the one where they said they're going to restore the dung gate. It's really all it says. So Nehemiah 3:13, put that in your notes. It's where it says that. Just so you know, I'm in the book. Okay. I hope now that it got it up, it's the right one. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoa, and they built it and set up the doors thereof. Yes, it does at the end. The locks thereof and the bars thereof and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate. Now, the name Hanan is another name for grace. And so grace builds a gate. Grace gives you an opening. Grace gives you access in and out of the city. Now also, the dung, can I just say manure? I'm trying to keep it holy. Manure. It was the manure, or it was the dung. It was the refuge. It was the garbage from the city. That's what I want you to think about. And as much as we think that's not a godly topic, how many know that for the cleanliness and the sanctity and the preservation of the people, even when they traveled through the wilderness, God gave them provisions and clear instructions on what to do with the refuse in the camp. And it was always meant to stay outside the camp. Can I say to you, there's a whole lot of stuff that creeps into our camp that really needs to stay outside the camp. There's a whole lot of things that creeps into our marriages that really needs to stay outside the camp. There's a lot of things that creeps into our homes that needs to stay outside the camp. Things in our churches that need to stay outside the camp. There's a whole lot of things in our minds that needs to stay outside the camp. Our hearts that needs to stay outside the camp. That's where it belongs. Amen. And you know, I think about that sometimes, how easily it is to bring that stuff in. And you know, as pastoring a church, it's a wonderful blessing. It's an honorable position. But how many know there's sometimes that there's things that can wear on you or frustrate you? Can I just say it like that? Yeah. My husband and I have always made a pact and have always tried our best to say that we did not talk dung about church or anything like that in front of our kids, because they never need to know some of the stuff that might go out. It don't come into our house. There are some things that, you know, like if that I have to deal with in ministry and things like that, that sometimes don't even come into my house because my husband don't need to carry some of those things. It needs to stay out there. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's some things that we so easily bring in that if we would understand, if we keep it outside the camp, then it smells a whole lot better, and the atmosphere of where we're living is better because we're going to clear the junk and keep it outside the gate. Am I making sense to you this morning? I'm trying not to talk in riddles, but I'm hoping that you follow it with me here. And so he gave them provisions for how to do it. Now, not all dung was bad. Okay? So in making that statement to you, what does that say to you? Fertilizer. How many know that we use manure, we use some of those things for fertilizer? How crazy is it that God created something so nasty to have something have for something to have such a worthy part in a harvest, right? We go riding in the convertible sometimes, that's Dan and I, clear your head kind of thing, and we'll go up through the countries and the farms in Pennsylvania, and every now and then Dan will say, woo, fresh country air. Because it is fragrant. He said some of those farms up there got some liquid manure. He said you could spray it and it would grow grass on a rock. It's some powerful stuff, right? And to us, it's nasty and it's ugly, but to the farmer, it has a purpose, right? There are some things that you will walk through in your life and they stink. But if you will let it be fertilizer to get you where you need to go, God will bring something beautiful, something alive, new and fresh seed out of a season that just stinks. Can somebody say amen? There are some things that will come your way and they just stink. When Mary and Martha brought Jesus to the tomb that day and he walked up to them and they were weeping and crying and they said, if you would have just been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Death stinks. And they said, take me to where you have laid him. And they said, Master, he's been dead 4 days, and he stinks. It stinks where we're at right now. Jesus looked at them and said, Mary and Martha, don't you know that I am the resurrection and the life? That he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I'm telling you, there are those who have passed beyond the veil, that though they were dead, yet shall they live. Because life does not end at death. It just transitions to a higher realm and to another place. And there are some things you are going to walk through in your life and they just stink. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll call and summons the Master to come, he will come and he will bring resurrection life into the midst right where you are. It might just be fertilizer to get you where you are. And you say, Pastor Lisa, you don't know about my past. I don't need to know about it. But I want to tell you, whatever it is that stunk before, if you let it be fertilizer to propel you into where you want to go, God will bring life out of death. I want to tell you, that's good stuff today. Not only did they use it for fertilizer, but they used it for fuel. You all know that, right? You all watch Prairie Days, you watch the Wild West, you watch Buffalo Chips. They used it for fuel. Because once it dries out and the stench is gone, it is an igniter. It is fuel that will fuel the fire, that will bring the heat, that will bring what you need to bake the bread. How ironic is that? That they would use it in the ovens and that they would use it as fuel to turn it into something else. I want to tell you this morning, there's been some things in your life that maybe did not start out good, but God will use it as fuel to propel you, to get you to where you need to be if you'll keep your eyes on him who is resurrection and him who is the life. Paul in Philippians, I'm not going to read it because I'm running out of time, but Paul in Philippians talks about his upbringing. We know that Paul started out as Saul, right? And Saul was the one who held the garment of Stephen when they stoned him for professing Jesus. Let me tell you, folks, Things might look rough right now, but they don't look near as rough of some of those who have paid the price. When Stephen lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Don't lay this sin to their charge, but I cannot back down from who I am. I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him." How many know when Stephen was professing Jesus, Saul of Tarsus held his garment while they stoned him, and went on a journey into Damascus to destroy the Christians and to destroy the people of God. But on the way in the journey, God knocked him from his donkey. Everybody say donkey. Knocked him to the ground and said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus of Nazareth, the one you persecute." And the scripture said that Paul's eyes were blinded, and he went down to the house of those in Jerusalem and could not see. And he said, "Go lay hands on him that his eyesight might be restored." And he said, "Lay hands on him not. He's the one coming down to destroy us. What do you mean, Lord?" He said, "No, you go lay hands on him and open his eyes, because I closed his eyes to what he used to be, and I'm going to open his eyes to the purpose of God in his life." And God turned Saul of Tarsus into Paul the apostle. And so that he stands up in Philippians chapter 3 and says, "I am the Pharisee of Pharisees." Those were the religious dudes of the day. They were the trained of the trained, the ones who went to the elite Bible college. He said, "I was trained at the feet of Gamaliel. Of knowing the law, I was blameless." Now let me just tell you, there were not a whole lot of people who could say they were blameless according to the law. There were so much things in there. He said, "But I count it all as dung that I might win Christ." Yeah. Not that it was nasty and bad, but Dan shared this back many years ago when he said it was just fertilizer to get him where he needed to be. He was trained in the Hebrew law. He was trained in the Jewish culture. He was a Pharisee. He knew how to speak to Jewish people. So that when God called him as an ambassador to the Gentiles and to the Jew, that Paul could relate and minister and be an advocate on both sides, because he knew both sides. He knew what the law meant, but he also knew what a great invitation it was to the Gentile. That when he said, "There's no neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus." He said, "I count it as dung that I might win Christ." And then when he were in the wilderness, he told Moses, he said, whenever a man, it's in Deuteronomy chapter, 23? Whenever a man or a woman gets ready to relieve themselves, it's how it says it in an Amplified Bible. He said, "Tell them to take a shovel or a spade and go outside the camp and do their business and then cover it up and leave it there." He said, "Because the Lord your God is holy, and when he walks in the camp, he's going to walk among you, and he will not walk in the stench of those things." There it is. "For your Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to give up your enemies before you. Therefore shall your camp be holy, that he may see nothing indecent among you and turn away from you." How many know his desire is that our camp will be holy? This camp be holy. Our camp be holy. Your homes, your houses, this be holy. Holy doesn't mean glow in the dark and walk on water. Holy means sanctified, and that our heart is right with God, and the presence of God is first and foremost in our homes. So he told him, he said, "Take a shovel and take it outside the camp." We already shared that about, there's a whole lot of things that should not come into our camp. There's some things that just needs to stay out. I mean, past throwing people's past and things like that up to them. That needs to stay outside the camp. It was the refuge. It was the garbage dump. How many know stinking thinking needs to stay outside the camp? It needs to go out the dung gate. Don't let what's meant to stay outside the camp come into your relationships, your homes, your hearts, or your mind. Don't pollute the promise or the presence with anything that's not honorable and uplifting and what is good and profitable. I mean, sometimes you got to shake off religious mindsets. What Paul talking about, he counted all as dung. How many know there were some religious mindsets that Paul had to get away from because the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, had made it so much about the traditions of men and not about honoring God. And there were some religious mindsets and some things he had to shake off. He said that I might win Christ and that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Where you have been becomes fuel for where you are going. Let it fuel your future and not pollute it. Can you hear that today? It may just be fertilizer on seeds you have sown, but haven't seen the fruit from yet. Paul said it was dung, not just worthless, but fertilizer to where God was sending him. What is it in your life that stinks? Shut the gate to it. When Jesus went in to pray for the young girl, they said, it's too late. She's already dead. And Jesus said, take all of those with unbelief and put them outside the door and shut the door. I don't care what it looks like to you today. When Jesus steps into the room, atmospheres change. When Jesus steps into the middle of where you are, life has to happen. But sometimes you got to shut the door to negativity. You got to shut the gate to doubt. You've got to shut the gate to fear. You've got to shut the gate to despair and forsakenness and guilt and shame. How many know sometimes you just got to shut the door and leave it out there? Throw it out. I'm closing now. I brought a object lesson. Terry always likes it when I use object lessons, but she's not here today. Most of you will probably know what this is. A few of you may probably all know what this is, right? Everybody know what this is? It's a candy dish. For the kiddies. It's a trick-or-treat bucket. I use it in my house as a trash can. That's closer. Yeah. What is it? It's a chamber pot. My grandmother Ethel had one of these. She never had indoor plumbing inside of her house the whole time that I ever knew anything of her. She had one spigot that came in, and that's where all of her water came, but she had a chamber pot, and she had an outhouse. Everybody knows what a chamber pot and an outhouse is, right? But the purpose of the chamber pot was so if you had to go potty in the night, you could use the chamber pot. Didn't have to go out in the dark. And then in the morning, when you got up, you threw it out. Right? You had to throw out the pot. Why I brought this morning, go ahead and stand to your feet, is because if you leave that thing set there under your bed, your neighbors are going to know it. Right? If you leave it under there, in the secret places of your house, someone is going to know it's there. The purpose of it is to put it in the pot and throw it out. And there are some things in our minds, in our hearts, and in our life right now that you need to, by faith, put it in that pot and throw it out. And I don't care if before you leave today, if you want to write it on a note, don't sign it. put it in that pot, I promise you I will burn it tonight. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that stink that want to come into my gates. And I say, oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't. There are some things that have been in my life that stunk, but they have become fertilizer and fuel to get me to where I am and to where I'm going. I refuse to live in defeat. I refuse to live in fear. I refuse to live in shame. I refuse to live in guilt. Shut the gate to that. I'll put it in the pot and throw it out. Throw it out to the dung gate. You know why? Because I know that Jesus already purchased the garbage dump. He already purchased that valley. There may be somebody that you know that's in that garbage dump that needs rescued. That's what the gate back into the city is for. Because he will rescue you out of the darkness of despair. So as Crystal plays a song, I just want you to bow your heads today as we're closing. And, you know, the altar is open. We will, you're welcome to come and pray at the altar if you want to, if you want me to pray over you, if you want me to anoint you with oil, if you want to pray in your seat where you are. I want you to just submit your heart, your life, your cares, whatever it is, to Jesus today. Hallelujah. And declare that it is fuel and fertilizer for what is next to come in this season in my life. Because for Word of Deliverance Church, we will arise and build. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.